Welcome to my Father's House podcast, episode 481, The Apostolic Anointing for the End Time Church. Guest minister and evangelist Alejandro Arias delivered this message on Sunday, July 19th, 2026 in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Are you blessed? Yes. Tell your neighbor, I'm a blessed person. I'm a blessed ambassador of the kingdom. I am blessed to be a blessing. Amen. And today I want to talk about four facets of the end times church. And I'm going to talk about the four apostolic facets of the end times church. And I'm going to base it on the book of Revelation chapter 4, verse 6 through 7. So I'm going to talk about the lion. So as you know, when you read that scripture, it is a descriptive vision of four angels. Actually, it was more like a visitation. Four angels with four different shapes. You know, one was a lion, the other one was an eagle, the other one was a calf, and the other one was had a face of a human being. Have you heard about the living creatures? Have you heard that term before? The four living creatures. Okay. So we're going to talk about that. And this is a message for the end times church, because we are right in the end times. Can I say this? We're not even 1 minute before. We're not in the 11th hour anymore. That's what I tell people. We're not in the 11th hour anymore. We're like 1 minute before midnight. If you can think of time, we are 1 minute before midnight. Things can happen very quickly in the next few years. And, you know, God's timing is very different to ours. So you can't really think in your terms as far as timing, because God's timing is very different to ours, right? So the Bible says, before the throne, there was a sea of glass, Revelation chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, like crystal. And in the midst of the throne, and around the throne were four living creatures, full of eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion. Say with me, a lion. The second living creature, like a calf. The third living creature had a face like a man. And the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within. And they do not rest day or night, saying, and I want everyone to say it, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. We honor you, and we give you praise for what you're about to do in this house. I pray that you will heal people. I pray that the anointing will come so strong upon people that they will be healed as they're sitting there listening to this message. That they will be empowered, that they'll come out of this message feeling so empowered to take on their challenges, to take on the world, to take on this toxic world. But I pray, Spirit of God, come upon them right now. Fill them, empower them, minister to them, and bring healing. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. At the end, we're going to minister to you all. We're going to pray for you. We're going to believe God for miracles. We're going to have a time of impartation. So don't go anywhere before you get that impartation. Amen. The Chinese food can wait. The restaurant can wait. Come on. Panera bread can wait. I don't know where you're going after this. Even the mall, the tacos can wait. All of that can wait. But this is a divine appointment you have with God. Amen? So before I forget, we have some books available at the resources table. This is Revelation Ready. My wife wrote this amazing book based on Revelation, Preparing for Now. How many of you have this book? If you don't have it, it's available at the resources table. Then we have some amazing t-shirts. I know some of you have it. This one is really cool. My God, Miracle Worker, Promise Keeper. We have different colors. So if you want to evangelize today, put under your Jesus jersey and go and evangelize. Amen? Amen. And make disciples, right? Yesterday I was wearing a t-shirt and it had this amazing description, like, if Paul were alive, we would be getting a letter. My wife actually came up with that. And I'm going to create that as one of our resources, because I had so many people looking at that t-shirt. You know when people are staring you and they're like looking at you, they're reading what your t-shirt says? I had so many people looking at my t-shirt, but nobody wanted to ask me a question about the t-shirt. I was waiting for the question. Nobody asked me anything, but I had so many people turn around, look at me and smile, because, yeah, we would be getting a letter, right? And what letter would we get? I think we would probably get the letter that the Galatians got or the Corinthians got, right? And somebody replied on my Facebook post. They said, well, if Paul were alive, if he was around, I think the American church will be getting a letter. I'm like, absolutely, we would be getting a letter, right? Anyway, the lion symbolizes authority. Lions are known for their strength and speed running to get their prey. The symbolism of the lion represents authority because of two things. One, their strength. Two, their speed. And I'm going to say number three, their roar. When they roar, they can hit up to 114 decibels, loud enough to easily pierce human hearing thresholds, and carries up to 5 miles away. They use it to map out their territory. They're known to be the king of the jungle. And by the way, they have great vision too. I didn't know this until I started doing some research about lions. They have great vision at nighttime. Night vision. Lions have a reflective layer at the back of their eyes. It amplifies minuscule amounts of light, giving them night vision that is roughly 6 times better than ours. It is not fair because they don't get to wear glasses. Our vision wears out as we get older. Yet lions and eagles and all of these animals, their vision stays sharp. I don't know what's up with that, honestly. The other day I was recommended I needed to wear glasses for, you know, some things, not for everything. Like, I'm not wearing them today, but like if I'm really tired and I'm at the airport, the signs are starting to look blurry. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, what does it say, like up there at the gate? You know, I'm starting to use my gift of discernment when I'm reading something, right? Like, what does it say up there? Anyway, but when I've been doing some digging about these animals, I discover that they have three things: strength, speed, and they have great vision. And these things are required. They are essential in the body of Christ in this world, especially in this battle we're facing now. As believers, as disciples of Jesus, we need to have a strength. We need to have great vision. We can't be clouded. Our vision can't be clouded by the difficulties and the obstacles we're facing in this world. Come on. Your vision can't be clouded by the critical spirits that are in so many churches. Your vision can't be clouded by the gossip and the slander and the toxic culture that we have in our churches right now. Your vision can be clouded when you're facing a giant before you, because you know that ultimately God's going to give you the victory and God is going to take out that giant before your eyes. Your vision can't be clouded when there is no provision in the bank account, because you know God is your provider and ultimately God will come through and he will provide every dollar you need to pay for your bills. Your vision can't be clouded when you're facing marital issues, because you know ultimately God will unify your family if you pray and you stay together. You pray together, you will stay together. One of the greatest secrets for a strong marriage is praying together. If you pray together, you will stay together. No matter what difficulties, challenges, obstacles, no matter how critical your marriage is right now, what kind of crisis you're going through, your marriage will stay strong if you pray together. One of the greatest threats and one of the greatest fears the enemy has is when a couple decides to pray together. He hates that, and he will do everything possible to keep that couple praying separate. Because if you pray separate, or if you're divided in the spirit, you're not unified in the spirit, right? But the enemy will do that. He will attempt everything he can to divide that family. But if you pray together, you will stay together. Come on. How many of you believe that? Number two, see, when we have great vision, we will not be limited by what we see in the natural, but we will see it in the spirit before it happens. We will not be limited by our circumstances or by a medical diagnosis or by anything that doctors say, because we believe in God's report above all reports. Come on, somebody. We will not be limited by what we see in the natural, because we know that we have a great God who is right beside us, who is going to open great doors for us, who is going to be with us all the time. He is there sustaining us. When we believe in the names of God, and I'm sure you've gone through the names of God, but I want to go through some of the names. Jehovah Jireh, he's the provider. Jehovah El Shaddai, he's a comforter. Come on. Jehovah Nisi, he will fight for you. Right? Come on. Jehovah Rapha, Shalom, the peace of God be with you. El Roy, the king. When you go through the names of God and you discover every one of his qualities and every one of his, traits, personality traits, you will discover that our Heavenly Father, every one of his names, every one of his personality traits brings so much blessing and favor. They bring so much to us, and we are so privileged and honored to be his children. And what a wonderful Heavenly Father we have, because every one of his qualities bring blessings to us. So when we claim on the Lord, when we call on his name, when we pray in the mighty name of Jesus, we will see miracles. We will see things being executed in the natural. Come on. The number one thing I want to talk about is the roar. So when you pray in the spirit, and that's what I call the roar, when you pray in the spirit, you discover your roar. A lot of people don't know how loud they can be in the spirit until they start praying in the spirit and they discover their roar. And what I mean by that is they discover their authority. They discover their strength. They discover their power. They don't know they are anointed and chosen by God until they start praying in the spirit and they discover their identity in Christ. See, because we're not called to be... And I say this, and this may sound funny, but we're not called to be hissing like cats. Hello? But we are called to roar like lions. And when you discover that in the spirit and you pray in the spirit, you will discover your roar. Meaning that when you pray and you pray in the spirit, you're doing business with God. And that miracle, that breakthrough, whatever you're believing for is going to happen. When you pray in the spirit, the strongholds will be broken. When you pray in the spirit, the walls will come down. When you pray in the spirit, the miracles will happen before your eyes. When you pray in the spirit, the Red Sea will be parted. The Jordan Sea will be split. Come on, somebody. When you pray in the spirit, whatever doctors are not able to do, you will be able to do it in the spiritual realm. Whatever is impossible for man, God will do it before your eyes. Come on. When you pray in the spirit, you will see miracles happening. You will expedite miracles. You will give birth to miracles before they even manifest. Praying in the spirit is the most powerful weapon we have as believers. And I've known this, because every time I feel panic or fear come upon me, you're like, Pastor Arias, do you ever feel afraid? Of course. I'm in a body of flesh. And even though I cast out demons and I see people getting healed all the time, every now and then I will have to deal with fear. Like the other day, I was flying, and I was telling Pastor Harley, I was flying from Port Vila to Pentecost Island. We were celebrating the 258th anniversary of the revival in Pentecost Island and their discovery. And they had this big celebration, this big gospel crusade. For the first time ever, they were holding an outdoors gospel crusade. And they invited me to go up there because, you know, we're doing this global initiative, Pentecost. So they wanted to have a Pentecost crusade in Pentecost Island on Pentecost Sunday. Check that out. So it was like God who lined it all up. He brought it all together, and I was there. And on Sunday morning at like 6 in the morning, I was at this tiny airport in Port Vila flying this old plane from the, I don't know, 1960s. It was all patched up. It was all bangled up, beaten up. It was like an old Jeep, but in the sky. Have you ever seen an old Jeep that's done like 300,000 miles and it's all beat up and, you know, it's like way past its due date, like it's expired already, like, but people still drive it? Well, I was flying from Port Vila to Pentecost Island in an old Jeep. And I was looking around the plane and looking at the condition of the plane and taking pictures and sharing it with my prayer warriors. I'm like, please, guys, pray. This is one of the greatest challenges I've ever faced in ministry. And I've been flying for 28 years, but this is not funny. I'm looking at the condition of this plane, and I'm thinking, Lord, would I make it to Pentecost Island? I'm literally praying and asking the Lord, is this your will? Are you okay with this? Should I get on this plane? It was that bad. I'm not exaggerating. I'll show you the pictures. If anyone wants to, ask for the pictures, I'll show you the pictures. I'll show you the evidence. I already showed the evidence to Pastor Harley. He was like, oh, brother. That took faith. That took a lot of faith on my part. When I got on that plane, I started praying in the spirit quietly. And I'm like, Lord, I was holding onto that seat, you know, praying in the spirit. And I pulled out my phone and I was following my blue dot. You know, when you go with Google Maps, you can actually see the blue dot moving. Did you know that your latest phone has like a GPS tracker? And you can turn it on when you're flying, and you can literally see where you're flying. And you can follow that blue dot, and you can see the route. I didn't know that until one day a friend of mine said, oh, you can do this with your iPhone. I'm like, wow, that's amazing. Like, even if I drop the phone, everybody will be able to track me down. So I was like, I'm going to keep my phone on, because if anything happens, if this is the last day of my ministry, then my wife will be able to track me down. Or somebody will be able to track me down. But, you know, I had an evangelist friend of mine from Nashville. I looked at him, and he was like, his face was pale. And I said, brother, how do you feel? And he's like, I feel like my life is flashing before my eyes. And he's got little kids. And we're both praying. We're asking the Lord whether, you know, if this is a good plan or not. And then the Lord spoke to me. How many of you have heard the voice of the Lord before? And I just felt God's affirmation and confirmation. It was so beautiful because the Lord spoke to me with a tender voice. And he said, you will get there and you will make it back and you will be fine. Don't be afraid. Everything will work out. So I made it there, preached the gospel. We saw hundreds of people come to the Lord. When I got there, I almost kissed the ground because I was like, praise God, I made it. Then on my way back, upon landing, the emergency lights went off. I'm like, God, you said I will make it back. God, you said that I was going to make it back. We almost hit it off the wrong way. I kid you not, it was a faith-driven flight. All the way there and all the way back. But then God taught me about praying in the spirit. When you are facing fear, that's the greatest weapon you have as a believer. Pray in the spirit. When you are facing panic, when you're facing doubt or anxiety or anything that the enemy wants to bring on you, pray in the spirit. Pray in the spirit. Because we are all called spirit-filled for a reason. Not because we have a label on our foreheads. We are not Pentecostals by label. We are Pentecostals by true definition. How many of you are Pentecostals here? Did you know that being filled with the Holy Spirit is equivalent to being a Pentecostal? Did you know that? I'm not talking about the old-fashioned Pentecostal church where people are not allowed to wear makeup and they're not allowed to, like women are not allowed to wear pants and all of that. I'm not talking about that. That's not the definition of Pentecostalism that I'm talking about. I'm talking about Acts chapter 2. Pentecostalism is equivalent to walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. So I'm a proud Pentecostal. Hello? Because if I pray in the Spirit and I see miracles, that defines me as a Pentecostal. I am part of the Acts 28 church. Hello? Like there is no Acts 28 in the Bible. What are you talking about? I'm the ongoing expression. I'm the continuation. I'm the next chapter of the book of Acts. Come on, somebody. So when I pray in the Spirit, and what I mean by praying in the Spirit, how many of you pray in the Spirit? If you don't have the gift of praying in tongues or praying in the Spirit, just praying in the Spirit, praying the Holy Ghost. What does that mean? That means praying in the Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit. Not just a normal prayer or an ordinary prayer, but praying with conviction, praying with power, praying with authority, praying with revelation, praying with rhema, praying with understanding. Come on, somebody. Praying in the Spirit means you are praying in the Spirit. You're not praying out of insecurity. Some people pray out of insecurity. And God will never hear those prayers. God will never hear selfish prayers or greedy prayers or insecure prayers or prayers that eventually could cross the line and become witchcraft. Hello? Do you know what witchcraft is? Witchcraft is not what the witch doctors do only, like all of the, you know, the witchcraft and, you know, sacrifices and all of that. By the way, Pentecost Island, and this is amazing, I'm saying it was because God did some amazing things up there, but it was the capital of witchcraft in Vanuatu. Because the next day I went to meet with the president and the first lady. We had tea and we were able to talk to them and pray for them. And guess what the president told me face to face? He said, "You just went to Pentecost Island. Did you know that you went to the capital of witchcraft in our nation?" And I'm like, "No, I didn't know that, sir." But I knew, like in the spirit, I knew I was in a place filled with darkness. And it was riddled with demons, demonic activity. I knew it in my spirit. But when you pray in the Spirit, guess what? No demon will be able to touch you. When you pray in the Spirit, it's almost like you have this beautiful, like a covering, like this light. Like you have like a shield when you pray in the Spirit. And even if the enemy throws darts at you, even if the enemy is attacking you, even if the enemy is like targeting you, you will be able to fight. You will be able to withstand. You will be able to stand firm. Come on, somebody. You will be able to pray. Pray and fight back, because when you pray in the Spirit, you discover your roar. Come on, somebody. Can I hear some roars in the house? There we go. We have some lions in the house. That's cool. You know, I was in South Africa and I was really close to a lion, just a couple of feet. I was on a safari and I got to see the lions, but thank God they were asleep. But a friend of mine from Kenya confirmed, he said that you don't want to be close anywhere nearby a lion when the lion is roaring. Because that roar will terrify you. It will make you run for your life. Hello? If it's like, I'm telling you, a roar, the Lord blessed the lions with a really unique roar. And he compared us with the lions. And that's why he said in the Bible, there's the description. Jesus is compared to the Lion of Judah. So if Jesus is the Lion of Judah, we have the anointing of the Lion of Judah. So when we pray, we can roar. Come on, somebody. When we pray, we can roar in the Spirit. And when we pray, we will see miracles. We will see breakthroughs. We will see God moving. We will see God at work. Amen. I remember when we were in Peru and we had this dilemma because the city wanted to shut down our crusade. Remember that? I think some of you were there. The city wanted to shut down our crusade. They kept us outside of the stadium. We waited for an hour and a half. People were singing and worshiping and praying outside the stadium. We couldn't get in because the city, for some reason, decided that we didn't have the right pyramids and that it was not safe because the stage was not built to code or something like that. It was weird. It was bizarre. They gave us a bunch of excuses, and so we had to pray in the Spirit. And I remember arriving to the stadium. We got on the field, and I told, I think it was you, Elizabeth, I said, let's pray in the Spirit. Let's have all the intercessors pray in the Spirit. And we started praying in the Spirit, and I got a hold of somebody I didn't know. See, God will always make divine connections. Even when you don't know people, God will make it happen. He will connect you with the right people. He will open the heavens. He will give you favor. Miracles will be executed as you're praying in the Spirit. Come on, somebody. Miracles will give birth. You will give birth to miracles as you're praying in the Spirit. You will see God supernatural and manifest. You will see God supernatural power, and you will see His manifesting power when you pray in the Spirit. Come on. You will be able to nullify. You'll be able to cancel. You'll be able to block any attacks from the enemy when you pray in the Spirit. It is the most wonderful and powerful weapon you have as a believer. But how many of us use it? Did you know that it is readily available for us to use 24/7? Did you know that you don't have to be in church to pray in the Spirit? Did you know that you don't have to be in a secret place to pray in the Spirit? Sometimes you have to pray under your breath. Right? Because you're not really like flashing and telling, hey, people, I'm a crazy man. I'm praying. No, you want to witness to people. But you can pray in the Spirit under your breath and you will see miracles. Come on, somebody. I've done it before. I don't have to put a label on my forehead, say, hey, I'm praying in tongues. I'm a Pentecostal. No. But I pray in tongues in the Holy Ghost. I pray under my breath and I see miracles. And we started seeing the hand of the Lord mobilizing His people. We had somebody call an attorney. That attorney had favor with the city mayor or the governor. Somebody called an attorney. I think it was your friend. The attorney called the mayor or the governor. The governor called the president of Peru. Hello? We got the president involved. I bet the president was probably watching a movie on Netflix that night. You know, maybe laying down, relaxing. He gets a phone call from the governor. Hey, there's thousands of people waiting outside the stadium. They were going to have a gospel crusade, but they can't because the city has revoked their permit. We saw God supernaturally moved. Come on, somebody. He moved His hand and He helped us, and we were able to get into the stadium, and we were able to carry on, and we had the crusade. An hour and a half later, we had the music cranking, the worship going, the pastors praying, come on, and we were able to resume our program. Hallelujah. When you pray in the Spirit, you see miracles. Tell your neighbor, when you pray in the Spirit, you see miracles. God is calling you to pray in the Spirit. God is calling you to believe. God is calling you to use your God-given authority. God is calling you to speak to the storms. God is calling you to use your authority and let the enemy know who is in charge. God is calling you to stand upon the promises of God. God is calling you to have great vision, because in this day and age, you got to have great vision. Otherwise, your vision will be clouded. If you are on social media 10 hours a day, and you're not praying in the Spirit, and you're not spending time with God, and you are being intoxicated, can I use that word? Intoxicated by all the gossip, slander, criticism, negativity, and all the bad stuff that's going on in this world, you will have a clouded vision. But you can remove that by praying in the Spirit, spending less time on social media, and spending more time with God. Come on. And that's a revelation right there. That'll write a book. Hello? Less time on social media, more time with God. Come on. All of us can learn from that. Because we are so addicted to social media, to finding out what's going on in the world. Like, literally, we're getting notifications. We're getting bombarded by news, you know. We have the news at our fingertips. We can watch and see what's going on. That's why when the Bible says that every eye will see the return of the Lord, every eye will see Jesus coming back, I believe that, you know, the reason it says every eye is because in the future, like literally, everyone in this world will be connected to social media. In fact, right now, billions of people are connected to social media, but very soon, everyone will be connected to social media. Everyone. Through some way or another. Right? Let's talk about the calf. The calf represents servanthood, loyalty, and hard work. How many of you like those words? Come on. How many of you like those words? Hello? Servanthood, loyalty, and hard work. Guess what I'm seeing right now in the body of Christ? We are seeing an epidemic of lack of loyalty. We are seeing an epidemic of backstabbing. We are seeing an epidemic. Can I say it? Can I use that word, an epidemic? Because it's across the whole board. The whole body of Christ in the West. And even in other parts of the world, not only in the West, I'm seeing it everywhere, where people are building their platforms using others' ministries. They're attacking other ministries, and they are going after other ministries. They're gaining popularity. They're gaining clicks and views, but they're not making disciples. Ultimately, you're feeding a machine, and that's the spirit of the Antichrist. Dividing the church right, left, and center. Hello? The more we become customers of the gospel, the less we become disciples of the gospel. Customers of the gospel are people that are going to have an opinion on everything they see and they do in church. If they disapprove it, they will vote down. They will say, no, I don't approve that. I don't like those chairs. I don't like the setting in that church at the Father's house. They have a bathroom for the guys downstairs in the basement. And I have to go down the steps. And I think it's not good. I don't like that. I don't understand why the guys are having to go downstairs. And some guys feel like, hey, that's not right. That we're having to go down the steps to use the bathroom. When the ladies use the bathroom upstairs. Hello? When you are a customer, you will find any little thing to pick on. Oh, I don't like the children's program in that church. Oh, I don't like how they do it, there. I don't like how they worship. You know, people will always find an excuse to pack up and move from another church and say, well, it's time to move on. And the best excuse they'll find is, the Lord spoke to me. Hello? I wonder when they get to heaven whether they're going to be able to say to God face to face whether that was true. Because see, we are called to be planted. We are called to build. We are called to build roots. We are called to be solid. We are called to make disciples. And when that assignment is over and the grace has been lifted and you feel from the Lord that it is time to move on, then you move on. But you got to be led by the Holy Spirit. Don't pull the card, God spoke to me and I'm out of here. Hello? Because we have a fickle generation who is running from church to church. We have a lot of customers of the gospel. When God spoke to me about this, and I built a sermon on this, because during the pandemic, God said, look at the church. Look at how they're dealing with the pandemic. A lot of them are just customers. And that's the reason the churches suffered great losses. Over 60% of people decided to stay indoors. They didn't go to church. They left church. They quit church, whatever. And only 40% stuck by their pastors. And they supported their pastors. And they helped their pastors. And I understand, but we got to be sensible. And some people were compromised, and I totally get it. I understand that if you are immune compromised, and you I don't want to bring guilt. I'm not here to accuse anybody. What I'm saying is, by large, the body of Christ was being challenged in 2020, and only in 60% of the church dropped off the radar, and only 40% of the church stayed strong and faithful. And when I say they dropped off the radar, they disappeared. And you know why churches are growing back again in America and other parts of the world? Because God is raising a new generation. And that generation, my friends, is the generation, I believe it's Generation Z. And Generation Z is coming to Jesus by the thousands. Ever since Charlie Kirk began to preach the gospel back in college campuses and all over America, and I'm talking about America, God then began to pour out his spirit. He began to convict the hearts of thousands of young people all across this nation. Ever since the revival in Kentucky, come on, ever since that happened, and I remember I was preaching in this church on a Sunday a few years ago. I think it was back in 2022. When the revival broke out that Sunday, I don't know if you remember, Tanya, but I was here preaching about revival, and that Sunday afternoon, I got the news that revival broke out in Wilmer, Kentucky. Come on. But that revival was driven by a generation. Guess what generation that generation was? That generation was Generation Z. They started coming to Jesus by the thousands. God started moving. Revival began to break out all over the United States and around the world. God is moving again. He is not done. Come on, somebody. He is not done with this nation and with the West. He's not done with the church. He wants us to understand that he's got a plan for us. But we need to serve one another. Come on. We need to love each other. We need to carry each other's burdens. As Christ loved the church, we need to love on one another. Amen? So instead of being critical, instead of seeing everyone's faults and everyone's flaws, we need to understand that we live in a broken world. And everyone is going to make mistakes. Even the greatest ministers, don't put a minister on a pedestal. Because in 2 or 3 years, you will find out that that minister has flaws. And you'll be very surprised. And you'll be like scratching your head. Oh, I thought he was anointed. Hello? Because no one is perfect. But don't go out there on Facebook dragging that minister's name, letting the whole world know how wounded and church hurt you are. Because that is not benefiting the body of Christ. And by the way, can I say this? I feel the anointing. Unbelievers are reading our comments. Unbelievers are watching our behavior. Unbelievers are seeing what we're doing right now. And many unbelievers don't want to go to church because they see what's happening in the church right now. So may this be a reminder that we are called to love on one another. Tell your neighbor, I may not know you deeply, but I love you in Christ. Come on. Unless if you're sitting next to your spouse, I hope you know that person deeply. Otherwise, you are in trouble. Hello? I may not know you like an intimate friend, but I love you in Christ. And we are going to join hands and we are going to fulfill the Great Commission. And we are going to see a revival in Fort Wayne. And we are going to dig up the ancient wells of revival. And God is going to move again. Do you believe that? God is calling his church to love others like Christ. Love the church. To serve one another in the spirit of humility and compassion. Let me tell you what. This represents the calf. The ultimate, and by the way, the calf is the baby form of the ox, right? So the ox, ultimately, some Bible versions use that word ox, and some Bible versions use the word calf. The ultimate heavy haulers. While horses are faster, oxen possesses vastly superior endurance and raw pulling power. A single healthy ox can routinely pull and transport loads equal to or greater than its own body weight, often up to 1,500 to 2,000 pounds, for hours across rugged terrains without burning out. How many of you feel like that's the strength you need in the end times? Come on, somebody. How many of you need a dose of that anointing? Lord, give me that. Give me that. I mean, can you imagine? Jesus compared the church, one, to a lion, so the strength, the vision, and the power, two, to the ox, and ultimately it's linked to you know, like serving together, working together, you know, pulling the weight. Come on, somebody, right? Isn't that amazing? Then this is amazing. Listen to this. Oxen are highly intelligent and capable of learning complex verbal commands. A well-trained team can navigate tight fields, change paces, and back up based entirely on the handler's voice cues. Like the classic, gee-haw, you know. Now, gee, or for turn right, or ha, for turn left, right? Hello? So if the ox can understand vocabulary, and they can pull heavy weights, hello? How much more can the body of Christ, operating under this anointing in the power of the Holy Spirit, when we pray in the Spirit, when we read our Bibles, when we do our devotionals, when we are connected with God, how much more can we do in the spiritual realm? Think about that. We are unlimited. We are unstoppable. Come on, somebody. We are undefeatable. Come on. We are the greatest army in this planet because we have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will fight and help us overcome. He will fight on our behalf. Come on, somebody. How many of you believe that? But we got to pray for one another. We got to help each other. We got to learn from the oxen, right? We got to learn from them, right? We got to learn some of these attributes. We got to be like we got to understand why God is asking the church in this day and age to be more accountable. Amen? Now, the third living creature had a human face. And this speaks of the human side of the church. We can walk in the supernatural. We can pray and cast out demons. We can see visions, we can have heavenly visitations, but ultimately we are living in a body of flesh. And there's a human side about us, and there's a human side about your pastor, and there's a human side about your favorite preacher. Hello? There's a human side that you probably know or you will never know. But if you know that human side, don't become disappointed, because Jesus is working with all of us. We are not perfect, and that's not an excuse to walk freely doing whatever we want. We have to be. The Lord is exposing a lot of things in this day and age, and I love that. I love that God is exposing things, but I don't like the gossip and the tearing apart and the division and the strife and the slandering and the opposition that we're seeing in our culture right now. It is toxic, my friends. And a lot of people are being misled and deceived. And many people are quitting church because they don't want anything to do with that. We need to love people. Come on, somebody. Tell your neighbor, we got to love people. We got to make disciples. Is this a good reminder or what? Is this a good reminder? Come on. You know, God only, and can I say this? I'm going to say it. And I hope you understand where I'm coming from. God gives assignments to certain people. But it doesn't mean that assignment will end up well. They may start well, and then halfway through it, they may get wounded, upset, and disappointed, and they will finish the race really bad. We are seeing a lot of people who had good intentions, doing some good things, that are starting to do terrible damage to the body of Christ. They are harming the body of Christ. They're doing things that I never thought I would see in my day and age. But we got to stand together. And we got to stay together. Amen? Amen? The enemy is attacking the church in this day and hour. And we got to build together for the kingdom of God. for the sake of the Great Commission. Let me talk about the eagle. The eagle is a vision type church. An eagle can see things before they happen. Hello? The reason we were compared to eagles, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about the eagles. Are you ready for this? The eagles are an amazing animal, an amazing bird. They can fly. They have two different types of lenses. They can see straight. And they also have a type of vision that they can see to the sides. So they have like that vision, like laser focused vision. And then they have that kind of vision where they see dual. Yeah. To the left, to the right. And they're able to see so far away. They're able to, they're amazing. They calculate when they go hunting. They calculate everything. They work. They're really smart. And they precisely like point their target. And they go after their prey. And they never miss. They are so on target. They are unbelievable. How many of you like eagles? Right? I've been to some churches where they have giant statues of eagles. And I know when I walk into those churches, this is an apostolic church. This is something about this church. And I've been to some pastor's offices where the first thing I see on the desk is this giant eagle looking at me. You know? And I've been to some people's houses where they have decorated their houses and they have paintings of eagles with fiery eyes looking at you. Hello? Or lions with fiery eyes looking at you. I don't know if you're that kind of prophetic person. You will have paintings like that in your house. Hello? Come on, somebody. Don't just say amen. Say, yep, that's me. Come on. I don't want to hear an amen. I want to hear like, yep, that's me. Right? So the eagles represent the vision. Now, vision, we get the word vision from the word video. Video is videre, comes from the Latin and means to see. This is where we get the word video. Therefore, vision is like a video. It is the ongoing reality of where God is taking us. When you embrace his vision for your life, your family, your children, come on. You are able to see the vision from his perspective. Come on. Not from your perspective. I know some people that like to reminisce and they get stuck in the past and they talk about the manifestations and things God did 20 years ago. And it's almost like they're looking at a photo album. And every day they reminisce and they think about that time when the Holy Spirit visited them or when they had a vision or when they had an encounter. And they talk about it as if it was yesterday. Can we change that? Because I believe God is willing and able to visit you every day, not just every 20 years. Come on, somebody. We shouldn't be stuck in the memories of the old. We should learn from those memories. We should learn valuable lessons and we should gain understanding and glean revelation from those revivals, especially the revivals in, Azusa Street and the revivals in the UK, the revivals in New Zealand and Ireland and all of these great revivals here in the United States. We can glean understanding and revelation and embrace that, but we need something new in 2026. We need a 2026 revival. We need God to move in our lives. We need God to move fresh in the city of Fort Wayne. You believe that? So we need a new revival. We need a new anointing. We need a new oil. We need a new vision. We shouldn't be stuck in old memories. And I know some people that are not able to move forward because they're stuck in their past. They're stuck in their pain. They're stuck in their failures. They're stuck in their, you know, bad memories. They're stuck. They're stuck. They're not able to move forward. And so long as you're still looking back and not looking forward, you're going to be stuck, my friend. Many people will lay hands on you and you may fall 1,000 times in the spirit, cry, you know, roll around. But if you are stuck, you're stuck. Hello? Because so long as you keep looking backwards and keep reminding yourself about the painful marriage or the painful experiences or the past church hurt or the people that gossiped and said horrible things about you, if you're not able to let go, you're stuck. Yesterday, I came across a Facebook page, and it was enlightening. It was an eye-opening page, and it was about the church in said South Bend, where Lester Sumrall had his church. So I saw a comment from Pastor Lester, you have the anointing of Pastor Lester, but you're not Pastor Lester, from Pastor Harley. And I saw a comment on Facebook, and I clicked on it, and I went to this community on Facebook, and I saw what people were saying about this church. And I'm thinking, oh, Lord, it's been like 30 years. You know, that church closed, I think it was in 1996, or the church's still going, but the Pastor Lester went to be with the Lord in 1996, and I'm thinking, this man of God has long been gone. He has been gone for 30 years. Hello? And yet, people are still talking about some things that went on in that church. And I couldn't believe it. Like, there are, like, criticizing, saying things, speaking against the church. And his church hurt. And I'm like, how can people keep something for 30 years and never let it go? No wonder they're not walking in divine healing. Hello? No wonder they're not walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, because they're walking in bitterness. They're walking in unforgiveness. They're walking with church hurt. How many of you, and that word, by the way, has become so popular, and it's part of the Me Too movement. Hello? Hashtag Me Too. I've been church wounded. But you may have gone through some experiences in other churches, but you have to let them go. You have to bury the pain, bury the unforgiveness. You have to let it go if you want to move forward and ride this new wave of revival that's coming upon this city and upon this nation. Come on, somebody. You need to let it go. Let go of the pain. Let go of the unforgiveness. Let go of the slander, the gossip. Let go of the dishonoring. Let go of whatever happened. It was 20, 30 years ago. Let go. Tell your neighbor with a big smile, you better let go. I'm still processing what I went through in my previous marriage. Let go. I'm still dealing with what I went through my childhood. Let go. I'm still processing what I went through. How many times do you need people to lay hands on you and do a deliverance session on you? Is it going to take 40 years? Or is it going to take one single decision of letting go and letting the enemy know, you will no longer be a tenant in my mind? Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. I am issuing a notice of eviction today. And I'm telling the enemy, get out of here. Come on. You are evicting unforgiveness, evicting all of these things that have been, you know, stopping you and holding you back. You don't want that. Eagles, often what they do is they pick up the eaglets, you know, the baby eagles. And they often pick them up and they drop them. And you know, I know, how many of you are moms here in the house? How many mothers do we have in the house? Would you do that to your baby? Would you grab your baby, lift them up in the air and drop them? But eagles do. That's because eagles have the innate ability to fly even as babies. Now, this is steep. Eagles know how to fly even as babies, even as eaglets, right? So when they are dropped in the air, They have to discover within them the strength and the ability. It's almost like a memory kicks in. They have seen their mom fly before. So now they have to realize how to do it. And they start flapping their wings until they start flying. By the way, the mom eagle will never let them die. Isn't that awesome? God will sometimes grab you. And shake you up and drop you. And that's because God knows you have the innate ability to fly. Come on, somebody. You were born to fly. Tell your neighbor, I was born to fly. Come on, I was born to spread out my wings. I was born to do amazing things. I was born to overcome. God knew why you went through that before you even, you know, came to that understanding. God knew what he was doing. God knew all along why you were going through that. And you may not thank God for it. You're like, I wish it never happened. But God knew why you had to go through that. But ultimately, you will understand and thank God. Because all of those valuable lessons will help you in your destiny. Come on, somebody. Life is a moving video, not a snapshot. Don't get stuck in the memories of your past, but move forward and keep watching the vision. It is the ongoing will of God for our lives. Come on, somebody. You will be able to see through the walls. You will be able to give birth in the spirit, and you'll be able to see it. Too many people live their lives trapped in the photo album of their past. They get stuck on a single frame, past failure, a season of pain, or even a season of a past success. Some people get stuck in their success and they never achieve anything else because they go back and they're like, oh, that was the greatest thing I've ever accomplished. 5 years later, that was the greatest thing. 10 years later, that was the greatest thing. And they're not making memories. They're not writing their new book. They're not writing their new script. They're still enjoying the victory from 10, 20 years ago. Hello? You can get stuck even in your own success. When you're not moving forward, making new, not memories, making a new, writing a new chapter. God doesn't create memories, he creates a video. Come on, somebody. Come on, tell your neighbor, God doesn't make memories, he creates a video. And he's still filming. God is still filming. The video is not over. The movie is not over. Your victories are not over. Your miracles are not over. Your breakthroughs are not over. Come on, somebody. Don't allow yourself to be paralyzed by the memories or the success behind you. Hit play. Keep watching the vision because it is progressive, unfolding, and ongoing. And God will bless you. The broadcast isn't over. The video is still going. Come on, somebody. Father, we thank you for this word. Come on. We thank you that you are enabling us and empowering us to be like eagles, like oxen, like lions. Come on. We thank you, Lord, that even in our humanity, you are strengthening us and you are helping us overcome. And we give you praise and glory for the miracles that are about to happen in this place. Come on, pray in the Spirit.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.